From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. On today's program, we continue a series of studies on the law of God, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning by Morning.
Our text for this morning is found in Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This prayer begins where all true prayer must commence, with the spirit of adoption, Our Father. There is no acceptable prayer until we can say, I will arise and go unto my Father. This childlike spirit soon perceives the grandeur of the Father in heaven and ascends to devout adoration, Hallowed be thy name. The child lisping, Abba, Father, grows into the cherub crying, Holy, holy, holy. There is but a step from rapturous worship to the glowing missionary spirit, which is a sure outgrowth of filial love and reverent adoration. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Next follows the heartfelt expression of dependence upon God. Give us this day our daily bread. Being further illuminated by the Spirit, he discovers that he is not only dependent, but sinful. Hence he entreats for mercy, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And being pardoned, having the righteousness of Christ imputed, and knowing his acceptance with God, he humbly supplicates for holy perseverance, lead us not into temptation. The man who is really forgiven is anxious not to offend again. The possession of justification leads to an anxious desire for sanctification. Forgive us our debts, that is justification. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That is sanctification in its negative and positive forms. As a result of all this, there follows a triumphant ascription of praise. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We rejoice that our King reigns in providence and shall reign in grace from the river even to the ends of the earth, and of his dominion there shall be no end. Thus, from a sense of adoption up to fellowship with our reigning Lord, this short model of prayer conducts the soul. Lord, teach us thus to pray.
Oh.
If anything is obvious in this modern society, it is that people are confused, frightened, and uncertain about the future. Where does one look for the solution to the universal problems of guilt, doubt, and temptation? A number of years ago, Dr. Alan Cairns produced a booklet entitled A New Beginning, which deals with such questions as, how may I have my sins forgiven and my guilt removed? How may I be sure that I possess eternal life and that I am not deluding myself? And how may I enjoy the Christian life and live above constant failure and frustration? Dr. Cairns answers these questions from the Word of God. A New Beginning is for inquirers into the nature of the Christian message of salvation and for Christians desiring to gain a good grasp of the first principles of the gospel. It is useful for both personal use and for group study and discussion. For a free copy of A New Beginning, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A New Beginning, and we'll be happy to provide it. Today, Dr. Cairns continues this series in the Law of God with another portion of a message dealing with the third commandment, which forbids taking God's name in vain. God has revealed himself through his name, and he will hold men accountable for the way in which they use that name, for his name is holy. Although many people pay little attention to this commandment, God has attached a severe warning to it that he will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. Today, Dr. Cairns identifies some of the ways in which men may take the Lord's name in vain. Now, here is Dr. Cairns.
It's proper to use his name in song, in doxology, as the Scripture does. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. It's proper to use that holy name in benediction, as we did this morning in the morning service at the dedication of the little one. And the great Aaronic blessing, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Again and again in the New Testament, Paul and the other apostles give out these great benedictions. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. It is good and proper to use his name in worship, both private and public, but be careful even there. It's possible in prayer just to recite the name Lord meaninglessly as a filler in until you think of something else to say. Better to be silent. The name of God is a holy name, even in worship. It's also proper to use the Lord's name in witness. From time immemorial, the solemn oath has been an appeal to God to confirm the truth of what we say. And in its proper setting, a solemn oath is a serious religious exercise. It is never to be spoken out of mere passion, anger, or vehemence. Paul said to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 1:23, I call God for a record upon my soul, He said to the Philippians in verse 8 of chapter 1, God is my record, how greatly I long after you all. And in one of the most solemn oaths ever taken, in Romans chapter 9, Paul says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. Let me say, any professing Christian who could ever make that vow or take that oath and then deliberately lie, I think is still an unbeliever in heart, a stranger to God. It's a solemn thing. Solemn oath in witness, for God is my witness, and every word I say and every act I take. A special form of this appeal to God, especially in the Old Testament, though also in the New, was the casting of the lot. Lots were cast before God to determine a matter of great importance, concerning which the will of God could not be ascertained in any other way, or where there was no satisfactory decision possible. In Acts chapter 1, we find that after prayer, looking for one to fill the shoes of Judas Iscariot in the company of the apostles, after prayer, the only way they could discover the will of God was by lot. They cast lots, and the casting of the lot was an acknowledgement of God's providence and God's control. It was an appeal to God. Proverbs 16:33, the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole, if I could give a modern word, the whole decision, the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. That's why Solomon could say two chapters later, the lot causeth contentions to cease. You see, the lot was an appeal for God to confirm the truth and the revelation. Now, abuses of the lot are very ancient. Lotteries are not modern inventions. They go back at least to Roman times. And strangely, the same arguments that are now made in their favor were made in their favor back then. They are innocent fun. Very often, we are told now, and very often they were told back in ancient times, this is a painless way to finance good public policy. How often we hear, it will help schools, it will help education, it will help the underprivileged, it will do this, it will do that. The same arguments then as now. The truth is that lotteries are always destructive to public and private morals. They are not innocent fun. I don't want to get away off the subject, but I think I should say all use of a dice is not wrong. All games of chance are not wrong. If you've ever played snakes and ladders, you ever play that? You roll a dice. Back in our country, and I'm sure you do it here too, or did it, in the old days, they had a game called Ludo, where you rolled a dice, and you had to get a six to get out, and you had little plastic men you moved around. And you kept on getting dumped home and go back until you had all your men off the board. Don't think that's wrong. You see, life itself largely involves dealing with the unexpected. Life itself involves living with risk and knowing how to act and react whatever happens. I was just thinking today, my mother was the greatest shark at playing Ludo I ever met. And as I stopped to think of it, it exemplified her life. It would seem that everybody else was getting what she needed. but patiently, using what came her way, she would usually win or be there at the end. That's exactly how it was in life. All use of the dice is not wrong, but what's wrong with the lottery is that it is a perversion of the God-given use of the lot to appeal to His sovereign providence to further a breach of the 10th commandment, which is, thou shalt not covet. That's what's wrong with the lottery. Let me say that whether you do the lottery or not, you have a responsibility to make good use of God's revelation to you. You should hear it, you should heed it, you should herald it. Now, this is how far we've come. Follow me carefully. Graciously, God has revealed His name to us. That revelation imposes a very grave responsibility on us to glorify and honor that name. And thirdly now, the commandment warns us not to shirk this responsibility. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. There are various ways of failing to sanctify the Lord's name, and the third commandment warns against each of them. I'm going to be very brief and name seven ways in which men commonly break the third commandment. One, levity. Psalm 96 verse 4 says, the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. We only use the Lord's name properly when we use it soberly. When we use it intelligently, that is with reason, with understanding, and with good purpose. We only use the Lord's name properly when we use it for His glory or for the good of ourselves or our fellow man. Remember that to take the Lord's name in vain means to use it frivolously. And I want to make a statement from this pulpit tonight that I hope you will never forget. I believe that God has created in humankind a sense of humor, but I believe that as with every other faculty and gift, it must be sanctified and it must be kept under the control of God and His Spirit. We should learn that it is never, 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 never right to use the name of God in a joke. I have heard preachers get up to preach the Bible and they start off by blaspheming the very name of Him whom they claim to represent by the levity with which they use His name. If your humor includes the name of God, His person, His titles, His works, your humor is of the devil. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, frivolously. You may be surprised that I say, secondly, sorcery. Do you think we live in some remote tribal village? No, I don't. When I refer to sorcery, I refer to incantations using the Lord's name in occult practice. And very interestingly, the Old Testament notes that false prophecy is a special kind of sorcery. We read of Balaam in chapter 24, verse 1 of Numbers, when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he went not at other times to seek for enchantments. To the false prophet, the name of Jehovah was just a magical charm Now let me make a far-reaching statement. All magical incantations of the divine name belong to sorcery, not Christianity. There is something chillingly evil about the constant repetition of the name Jesus, 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 in charismatic and other services, using that holy name as if it were a charm. Charms are devilish sorcery. It's taking the Lord's name in vain. Third, perjury. Perjury is confirming falsehood with an oath. Leviticus 19:12 says, "Ye shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shall ye profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord." Now this is a very serious and widespread evil in everyday life. It always has been. Jeremiah lamented in chapter 5, 2, "Though they say the Lord liveth, surely they swear falsely." We have this on every hand today, people invoking the name of God as a witness for what they are saying, and all the time they are swearing lies. That is perjury. It's not only an evil in private life, it's an evil in public life. From the president down, the magistrates take an oath of office, and they often profane God's name by including that in their oath, and then blaspheming it with their insolent neglect of their oath. Ministers and elders, as they are confirmed in their holy calling, often commit a breach of the third commandment because they effectively commit perjury, swearing before God and man, as ministers of the gospel, what they will do and what they will not do, and then promptly forgetting all about it. That is perjury.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.